From the Land Grant University at Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 15th day of May 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's from Stuart Peterson. A bit later in the program, Drew Lerner will join us at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Actually, Drew's in Chile, South America this week. He dropped an MP3 file to me, so we've got an update from him, and it does include the latest in the weather forecast. So stay with us for that, and you'll get a good idea of what the weather's going to look like across the Corn Belt. And along the way, we'll check in on who's moving in what parts of the Corn Belt and check out the agricultural news as well right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On this Wednesday, we're joined by Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson. Hey, good afternoon to you, Jackie. Hope you're having a great day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh, yes. The sun is shining. How can you be bad?
You know, you're right. When the sun shines, it just feels so much better. And then, of course, you got this little rally that's been happening at the CME Group. Can you tell me about your thoughts as it relates to the soybean market and the rally we've been having?
Well, you know, I think number one, All of our listeners should be checking with their elevators to see what they're doing to basis. I've heard from some places where they just absorbed the entire rally into basis already. And, you know, basis is wide in a lot of places, but it could still get wider if it wanted to. That's the first indicator. The second would be, you know, how real is this? You know, it's possible. We talked a little last week about, you know, if pressure due to the trade war really affects the Dow Jones and the different equities, we could see investors come here to the commodities, you know, to try and protect or boost their earnings, which I think maybe is a little bit of what we're seeing. Now I'm hearing that, you know, everybody normally what's accepted in the industry is that when we start to get this late into planting, that we'll see more corn acres become bean acres. And now we're starting to hear that we actually have farmers who are switching bean acres over to corn acres, primarily because of profitability. And so the next thing, I guess, is, and we won't get this answer probably until the end of June, but, you know, are farmers going to do crop insurance, prevent plant, you know, and limit the production in both corn and beans? I don't think right now that's necessarily into this, but I think one of the things that is, you know, unemployment's at at 50-year lows right now, according to Merrill Lynch. So is the Fed going to keep the rates the same to try and avoid really squashing inflation? You know, there's no real reason to be raising rates, or is it possible that they could maybe cut the rate? If they cut the rate, Todd, I think, you know, that could signal a low in beans, but all of these things don't exist right at this point in time. And so I say anybody who, you know, who was terrified when we were below $8 on July beans the other day, better be rewarding this rally, but the risk we run is that a lot of it has already been absorbed into basis.
On old crop in particular, or are you talking about old and new crop both?
Well, mostly on old crop. New crop, I believe they will probably absorb some of that too, because I think when you look at the overall picture from a commercial standpoint, the commercials are still believing that, you know, we've got financial problems out here in the country. And so when you have financial problems, sometimes the banks dictate what you can plant, and it's usually beans because it's a less expensive crop to put into the ground. And so I think you've got to really be watching both, to be absolutely honest. And, you know, I talking about the issues in the country, we had a terrible situation in Wisconsin this last weekend. We had a dairy farmer who committed suicide, 69 years old, 6,500 cows. Lots and lots of employees, been farming for over 40 years. And, you know, this is, we hear of that type of thing going on in other places too, but I'll tell you, it just punches you in the stomach when you know how hard the farm community works and how tough it is all the way around.
Indeed, and that has been a conversation that extensions across the nation have been having, as they had in the mid-1980s into the early 90s at one point, trying to come to grips with what this might mean across rural America and how to, again, deal with the potential problems that it creates on the farm. We'll have more on that, I know, as we go through the summer months. Other things, Informa came out with some numbers yesterday. Did you see those?
I did. In fact, it was interesting. You know, they cut corn acreage down to 90.7. You know, and the USDA is currently at 92.8, so that's 2.1 million acres less. They did, however, raise the yield to 177, which I think kind of makes sense because some of that 2 million is probably prevent plant. And therefore, you know, or maybe not the best acres, you know, the highest production acres. Bean planting, they put in at 86.4, and the USDA is currently at 84.6. So there too, you know, they bumped things. And 51.2, that's below what USDA is at, 51.6. So both the acreages went down. And so that, I didn't add it before, but I can look at it right now just off the top of my head. It puts us at about 175.2 million acres. That's probably pretty realistic for this time of year between corn and beans.
That's 5 million less than last year.
Right. Yeah, right. You know,
because we were right at 180. We weren't quite that big. I suppose it's 3 to 5 million less than last year.
Right.
But it's still a drop nonetheless. And they probably haven't quite figured in the prevent plant. Maybe they have.
No.
At that point.
Who knows? I'd be surprised. And, you know, the thing is, at this time of year, we're usually not all the way up to our planted acres anyway, you know, as to what intentions we're going to be. The weather is what plays everything, you know. And so it's going to be interesting to see once. I guess when we did the March acreage report, I remember that day saying, you know, I think the June acreage report could look a lot different than this. And I think we all feel that same way, that things are really changing in the countryside, and it's hard to put your finger on anything. It's difficult for farmers to try and market, you know, because we, you know, even like our rally we have going on right now, Todd, you know, you have a situation where we see the prices going up on the board. It doesn't guarantee the cash price is really going up. You know, there's that terrible sinking feeling that, you know, it's like when you sell right before a rally, or when you have the market fall apart like it did the other day, you know, and you didn't sell. It's a really tough situation we're in.
And hey, one other thing about the marketplace. I think you mentioned Manage Money, but we didn't talk about it, frankly, very much. And I'm wanting to know what they've been up to here and how they've changed their position at all this week as we're making this rally.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what they did is they actually added shorts in soft red wheat. Up, they went up by 3,000 contracts, so it's not huge. On corn, they dropped from 296 down to 274, still a humongous short position. On beans, we went from 172,000 to 165,000. So, you know, that explains a little bit of the rally, of course. And when you look at soy meal, we're at 34,000 short compared to 32,000 last week. And soy oil, 68 versus 68. So that stayed about the same. So we have seen a bit of a shift, but that's not a very big shift at this point in time, you know. So we just kind of have to ride this out. I have a bad feeling in some ways that this is going to catch things. And the thing that we have to recognize too is, if people do begin to sell the board, you know, that causes the board, or even to sell grain, you know, your commercial comes in and sells the board to protect himself from having paid too much. And so there are a lot of different moving parts in this marketing situation that we're in that I think that people just aren't aware of sometimes.
Yeah, right. So if they sell old crop corn or soybeans, may put a lid on old crop prices.
Yep.
You know, you mentioned that the managed money went additional short in wheat. That seems a little bit worrisome as it relates to the upside potential for corn.
It is. It bothered me a lot. But, you know, you heard the wheat tour and everything else, you know, so I don't know, you know, when you look at USDA, and you looked at the average prices here, you know, they dropped wheat by 50 cents from 520 down to 470. You know, and that was huge. I thought that, you know, for 1920, not for 1819, there's still 520.
Yeah, for the crop that will be harvested yet.
Right.
Yes.
Right. But and corn went from 350. You know, next year they're saying 330. So, you know, you look at some of that, and I looked at the yields too. You know, we're 176.4 right now. They've got us up 2.7 million acres on corn for next year. On harvested acres at 176. On beans, we're 51.6 right now. They've got us at 49.5 next year, down 4.6 million acres. And so, you know, I guess all it really says is nobody knows what's really going to happen just yet. It just, the export situation is so up in the air, you know, and that's the other thing I was going to mention, that, you know, when we see export inspections, all you ever see are basically the port inspections. But many years ago, I pushed hard at the USDA meetings to get them to actually give us rail export inspections as they cross into Mexico. And we get decent numbers, but, they're not the most accurate. But we're up 8% this year so far going over into Mexico. So that was that's a pretty good jump. So from an export inspection standpoint, we might actually be ahead a little more on corn and behind a little less on beans than what we see just looking at the port numbers.
Hey, as we wrap up our time together, anything else? Usually you've found something fun in Brazil.
Fun, yeah. Well, Brazil is really, they're having an interesting time down there. You know, they've put in some dams on the river in the Amazon, and they're proposing now they want to build 100 hydroelectric dams in that region. But at this point in time, none of them account for the possibility of barging operations. You know, they don't have barging operations down there, basically. But the ones that they've already built have had a bad impact on not only the health of the river, but the environment. And so, you know, the indigenous population, the environmentalists, and everybody else are up in arms. And you and I talked before we came on the radio. I think, you know, that one of the biggest questions for all of us, you know, that the rainforest, when I gave you the information on that a while back as to how important it is to the entire world, you know, what might this do to the rainforest? If you start putting in dams, you brought up a really great point. You put in dams, you put in electricity in areas, and areas expand. And so, you know, I think that this is going to be a hard-fought fight down there, because environmental, this could be an outright battle is what it could be. And so the interesting part, at least when I was down there, and it still exists now, is that they put in these hydroelectric dams, but they won't give any electricity to the farmer. They go over the top of the farm, and you have no access to the electricity at all. It all goes to the cities. And so you have to produce your own electric using water. And it's just kind of interesting how they really don't realize what a tremendous asset agriculture is to them, you know, in general.
Here in the United States, when we first put electricity in, exactly the same thing happened. And it is the electric cooperatives that brought electricity to the farm. And USDA has many, many things about this. But at some point, they'll probably figure out a way to bring electricity to those farms, though they may do solar or wind energy or something else to provide it for themselves. Hey, thanks so much. And I do appreciate you being with us for the day.
Oh, thank you, Todd. Have a great day.
That's Jackie Vakes. She is with Stuart Peterson, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for Wednesday afternoon on this 15th day of May. I've been following along with farmers across the whole of the nation now, at least the whole of the Corn Belt. I know that they're moving in North Dakota and have been at least in the southeastern quadrant for about 3 days now, starting on Monday, planting corn and other crops, I assume, in that part of the world. Although they'll they'll be stopped fairly quickly, as we'll hear from Drew Lerner in just a moment. And then in Northern Illinois, we've seen some information come in through the Twitter accounts that they've been moving and really starting to go pretty good today. I checked in with my brothers in dead center of the state, Central Illinois, to see how they were doing. They weren't yet, but Tim left me a message.
Hey, Todd. Didn't see your call there, but I was assuming you wanted to know what we're up to. So anyway, we drove around. Don't have any cornfields we can plant, so we switched over to beans. I'm driving home for lunch. I'm going to go across from Dan's there, Rob's 156, to see if we can plant beans instead. So talk to you later.
I'd be pretty confident that they're rolling in the field right now, and suspect I'll get a text momentarily from them about using that voicemail on the radio right around our area in East Central Illinois. I'm not certain that they'll be moving just yet. They might think about it tomorrow, certainly on Friday, if they can avoid rainfall. Speaking of which, Drew Lerner left me a message today with the weather forecast. He's in Chile, South America, so I wasn't able to talk to him directly. Here's what he had to say.
Weather conditions across the U.S. are going to continue to be quite tenuous, to say the least, as we move forward through these next several days. In fact, for the next week to 10 days, too much rain will continue to occur periodically, and that is going to hinder some of this field work desire that so many farmers have. There's a lot of work that's left to be done, and those prevent plant dates are approaching quickly, and it looks like the rainfall pattern for the next 10 days is still going to be erratic enough to support at least some field progress. The recent warm weather we've had across a big part of the country has helped tremendously in firming up the ground in a few pockets. The unfortunate part is that we're not going to be dry enough for a long enough period of time to seriously firm up the soil for a prolonged period of farming activity. The ground will just begin to firm when it starts to rain again, and that's where the problem lies. For the majority of the region, we'll probably see the best field working opportunities in parts of Ohio, Kentucky, and southern and central parts of Indiana. And there may be a few areas in southern Illinois that will do okay between now and Friday evening. But after that, it's downhill for a while in southern Illinois. And we can say the same thing about Missouri. Missouri will probably also encounter some impressive storms on Saturday going into Sunday. And a few could start as early as Friday evening. Now, these areas I've just mentioned, the lower Midwest, they all have a chance for a few showers here in the near term part of the outlook, but they are probably not going to see enough precipitation to just stop all signs of drying and all opportunities for field work. But it's just not going to be an ideal environment. Now, if we take a look at the upper Midwest, most of the wettest conditions, I think, over the next 2 weeks will likely be focused on the upper Midwest. Now, there will be some breaks in the rain, but I don't think that it's going to be quite as warm there as it will be in the rest of the Midwest. And so the end result here is that that'll probably be the area with the slowest field progress. And the biggest concern about prevent plant dates approaching will probably come from that particular area, because the rain is just not going to be light enough or infrequent enough to allow for good drying to take place, and so we will fall further behind in some locations. Now, today's forecast is not as wet as it was yesterday across the upper parts of the Midwest and the Northern Plains, and today's forecast makes more sense, but it's still not dry enough for a long enough period of time to really have a big impact on moving the field progress forward in a significant manner. Outside of the United States, we're still watching places like China, where there's way too much dryness taking place in the North China Plain. That's one of their most important corn and soybean production areas. The odds are good that that particular region is going to end up doing without a significant amount of moisture through the end of this month. Now, that's not necessarily a crisis, but if it stays dry in early June, it will become one fairly quickly, so we want to keep an eye on that. Another part of China that had been drying out previously was in the northeast provinces, but they will get rain periodically over the coming week. Outside of this particular region, most of the rest of the world is doing okay. There is a need for some rain in Australia's winter wheat, barley, and canola production areas in order to support the planting of those crops. The only significant precipitation that's on the forecast charts for that particular region is going to be today into Saturday, when there will be a quick moving frontal system from west to east across the nation that will offer some teasing rain, but it's not going to be enough to moisten the soil in a significant manner.
That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It's public radio for the farming world. Listen to us online on demand anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org or find us in your favorite podcast application. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Finally today here on the Closing Market Report, I thought it might be important for producers and others to hear how the associations that have been representing farmers are talking about the trade dispute with China and the potential for a second round of payments to come from the U.S. government in support of producers across the nation. We'll start with the National Corn Growers Association. From its website, Friday's announcement, it writes that the Trump administration is increasing the tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods, and China's retaliatory tariffs could not have come at a worse time for corn farmers, bringing more uncertainty to markets and impacting commodity prices. In an effort, it goes on, to ease this impact, the administration is now pursuing a second round of trade assistance for agriculture with the intent of making an announcement in the next few days. As you recall, the previous market facilitations program payment rate for corn farmers was just 1 cent per bushel. A penny didn't cut it then and won't cut it now, writes the National Corn Growers Association. The Iowa Corn Growers Association on Twitter jumped in, saying farmers across the nation need help telling @real Donald Trump to stop increasing tariffs. Trade is a vital piece of the farm economy, and a penny payment will not offset the devastation farmers have felt from tariffs. From the Illinois Corn Growers Association, Illinois Corn Growers Association supports policies that allows for payments to farmers to offset losses directly tied to government actions that have interfered with the marketplace. Overall, our members tell us they prefer market access over government support. That said, we are entering our second year of prices impacted by the actions of the administration, and the situation is compounded by a perfect storm of other challenges like a significantly delayed planting season. We need things to change for the good and quickly. And finally, this press release is from the Illinois Soybean Association. Despite assurances from Washington, D.C., the trade war between the U.S. and China lingers. We continue to see missed deadlines and unbrokered deals. As this persists, we face more pain and uncertainty at the time when we must take the risk of planting another year's crop. Washington, D.C. has made another miscalculation, and the livelihood of farmers and the communities they support is threatened. When China's reciprocal tariffs hit our soybeans last summer, we lost nearly one-third of our market overnight. It was a predictable and preventable blow that no other major U.S. company or industry has had to endure. It seems like when it rains, it pours. Illinois soybean producers face greater challenges each day without a deal. We see no end in sight. There must be a better long-term strategy to remain viable and win the trade war. The only soybean farmers not scared are our competitors. That from the Illinois Soybean Association. That wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Just a quick reminder, now that farm tractors and vehicles are beginning to move at the beginning of this planting season, be careful on the byroads of rural America. Watch out for the producers and those that are helping them put this crop in. It's big equipment. It moves slowly. They're watching out for you. You watch out for them. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.